The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
I wanted and welcome to those of you joining us on the air, and I hope and pray that wherever you are, we're praying for some. We got some people sick. We know we've got a big portion out today sick. We're praying for you. We're believing for your recovery, speedy and swift and complete. And we're also glad that you're here. Amen. Now, I just told the people in house here that you may not get the full thing. We are being severely edited and severely restricted, and so if you're not getting the full broadcast, get on our Podbean page, or try to get on YouTube, but YouTube will block us anyway. But just know that there are people out there that don't want you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't want you to hear the good news. Is that what the gospel is? The gospel is good news. How much good news have you heard lately? From there. Outside of here, outside of the word, how much good news are you hearing? Right? We used to, my mom told me a story one time about a little chicken by the name of Henny Penny. Anybody ever hear of Henny Penny? Up underneath a walnut tree or something, an oak tree, and got hit on the head and went around telling everybody, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. There are a lot of people, I'm not going to mention the alphabet news groups, Fox included, that the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Well, I don't know what sky you're under. I'm not looking for the sky to fall. I'm looking for the sky to part and a trumpet sound, and on a white charger, a white horse, is going to come the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lord of Glory, and he's going to call us away from this mess. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm standing in this pulpit doing. That's why we are proclaiming and doing everything we possibly can to get the gospel into your hands. Now, to get the gospel into your hands doesn't do a lot if you don't understand it. There are a lot of people who've heard a lot about the Bible, heard a lot of Bible stories, but the Bible just doesn't make sense because they lack understanding. And that's where we are today. That's where we find ourselves today. I've only got three passages. Now, when I say passages, I don't mean three scriptures. I've got three different passages with multiple scriptures in them. And we're just gonna get into three of them today. We'll come back on Wednesday night and finish up. This is basically a mini series, but today we're going to talk about the understanding. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, Matthew's Gospel chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading in the first verse, Matthew 15, verse number 1. So, give you just a second to get there. Go to the middle of your Bible and turn right. Remember, it's okay to talk. Amen. Oh, we're there. All right, I can wait. Dinner's waiting on me when I get home. Beef and noodles, I'm happy. My crock pot ain't going to burn. Instapot's in there, man. It's going. So. Matthew 15, verse number 1. Now, then the scribes and Pharisees who were in Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" I wish I'd have had the presence of mind to invest in a hand sanitizer company. I know some folks that's the biggest germaphobes what there ever was. And there comes a time when you sanitize yourself so much that it becomes ineffective and you have to change sanitizers, because bacteria can morph. It is living and it can morph it can evolve, it can grow, it can adapt and conquer, right? Do you realize some people said, well, gosh, you got to have your water up to 180 degrees to get, you know, there are bacteria that live inside of volcanoes. Well, maybe you freeze it, put it in the freezer, and bacteria will stop. No, they've found bacteria in Antarctica, in ice floes. Bacteria is a living organism, and it finds a way to adapt. But these guys got all, and they weren't talking about germs. They were talking about ceremonially. One of the rules and regulations that the Jews had. And if there was anybody that knew the rules and regulations, it was the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, I remember one time we were having, as kids we were growing up, and this week has been a time of reflection for me. I lost an uncle, and we were with the family on Wednesday for the memorial service. And this week has been a week of reflecting for me. And I remember, you know, we came from a big family, extended family. My mom had 9 brothers and sisters, and my dad had 11. So they had a lot of cousins, you know. And invariably, we would get together a baseball game, a basketball game, a football game, or whatever game. And one time we were playing horse, you know, horse with the basketball. You take a shot, and if you make it, then the guy behind you has to make it, and if he don't make it, he gets a letter, right? And so we were playing a game of horse, and it was all good. You know, you'd shoot, you'd make it, the guy behind you miss, he'd get an H. You're familiar with the game, I hope, okay? All of a sudden, one of the cousins came in, and he was all about the rules rather than the joy of the game. And so we lined up, we shot, I banked a shot in, and he shot, and it swoosh, didn't bank it. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, that's an H, you didn't bank shot. You didn't call bank shot. He didn't put it through the same way. You know people like that? It's all about the rules. It's all about rather than the relationship with Jesus Christ, it's all about the rules and regulations. It's all about not doing any of the don'ts, and boy, there are a bunch of them, aren't they? And doing only the do's. And then these scribes and Pharisees were like that. All they wanted to worry about was the rules. Well, you might be doing it, but you're not doing it right. That's not the way you do it. Maybe some of their descendants are here. Why'd you do it that way? Why'd you do it like that? And I'm not so sure, but when the Lord comes back, I want to be working for Him even if I'm making mistakes. Amen. Right? I want to be working for the Lord. When He comes back, I want to be found faithful even if I'm messing up doing it. I would rather be trying to work and serve my God, my King, as we talked about in worship, as we sang about. I would rather be serving Him and making mistakes doing it, imperfectly doing it, as to not be doing nothing for fear that I would get it wrong. Yeah, amen. And today we find people, well, you just can't do that and you can't do this. Too many people telling us what you can't do, and the Lord's saying, come and follow me. I was talking this week with a brother, and I said, you know, the woman at the well, now this is not in your scriptures, I'm just referring to it. The woman at the well, she was caught in the act of adultery, in the very act. And I kind of blew his mind a little bit, because other than, you know, and I know this is going to mess with some of the woke crowd out there, but, you know, guys cannot give birth. They're not, as they call them, birthing persons, just to translate for you. Guys cannot give birth. But a woman can be caught in the act of adultery 3 months later. Is that you're looking at me like I just said something astronomical. A guy can commit the act of adultery and walk away. But a woman, 3 months later and she's not married and she's expecting, something's awry. And we get all down on the guys and saying, hey, where's the dude? They probably knew who the dude was. He may have had a stone in his hand. Make your head go like that. Again, we're talking about understanding. I want to teach and preach a little bit today so that you can have an understanding of the Word of God. Because too many times it's just words. Too many times the Bible is just verses, and we pile this verse onto this verse and this verse, and a good teacher or a good pastor will try to make a connection for you here and there. You know, how many of us after the second or third grade, how many of us did the teacher put the letters up on the board with the dots so we could still make our ones and our twos and our threes? It's time as believers in Christ that we started already to have the dots connected, and we could write our ABCs and we could write our numbers without the dots in place. You remember those dots that they used to put on there? We're working with our granddaughters, one of them. And they got the little dots, and I remember those. And the little arrows that says you start like this and you go like this. Too many believers today still need the dots. Is it okay if I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
You can mute me if you want to. Facebook is. If you don't want to receive that, that's fine. But Facebook already is. You can mute me if you want to, but the truth of the matter is that too many times we don't know, and we don't have an understanding of the Word of God. And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy, he says, you need to hire yourself a tutor so that you'll rightly divide the Word of God. You need to hire yourself a tutor. You need to go to Bible college so that you can understand and show yourself to be approved, doesn't he? That's exactly what Apostle Paul told Timothy, wasn't it? No, he said, study to show yourself approved. If most believers work their job like they did Christianity, they would be fired a long time ago. It's true. It's true. And so we have to understand then that we need understanding. Amen?
Amen.
We need wisdom. We need understanding. And so the scribes and Pharisees got spun out because they didn't do it. The disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate bread. And by the way, if you'd have eaten some of the bread that they eat, all you got to do is look back in our history, and some of the bread that they prepared back then, they had to pull the maggots out of it. They have to scrape the mites out of it. Yeah, the Wholesome and Sunbeam companies hadn't been made yet. We didn't know anything about preservation of bread. All right? And so they... Don't worry about the maggots in the bread. You got to wash your hands before you eat it. All right. It's talking about the forest in the trees. And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That was their tradition, to honor their father and mother. By the matter of fact, in the scripture, that's the first commandment with promise, to honor your mother and your father. This week, we've been recounting family, and you know something, I can honestly say this because my mama said this. She said, I've never, ever dishonored her, and I never, ever dishonored my dad. Now, that's something when your mom says that. Because I was a rowdy teenager. As a matter of fact, my Uncle Lindsay was there. He's familiar with most of you here. My Uncle Lindsay was there, and he recalled the time when we were in a youth group and we had a car wash to raise funds to go on a youth activity. And he goes, the only thing I could remember about that car wash is that JC was over in the back of a pickup truck with his band playing music. I had completely forgotten, but it left an indelible impression on my uncle, who's, why am I here working hard when he's over there playing music? And, you know, you got to be careful when family gets together because they remember the strangest things. Art Linkletter said, kids say the darndest things. Well, let me just tell you, Family does too, because they remember. Mm-hmm. Amen? And I love Uncle Lindsay. He knows that. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. So I'm going to take what you might receive from me and I'm going to give it to the Lord. Then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God by no effect, by your tradition. And Jesus goes into this thing where he says, hypocrites! Jesus could not preach in today's church. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They draw near to me. They talk a good talk. They honor me with their lips, but Jesus sees the heart, doesn't he? He looks down in the heart. The word that came this morning. The word that came this morning. I am inhabiting your praise. What if, and let me just add, I'm not adding to that. I'm not taking away from that. What if the Lord decided that he was only going to bless you in direct correlation and correspondence to how much praise you give him? I'm glad he doesn't, but what if he would? There'd be a lot of lack. There already is a lot of lack in the church because we don't know who God is. But there would be a lot more lack. This place would be a wilderness. And you say, oh, I just don't believe God would do that. You might want to double check, because after Malachi to Matthew, there were 490 years without one word from God.
Right.
And God is no respecter of persons. And in the day and age in which we live, we need as much of the Lord, we need as much of the Holy Spirit as we can get. And so let's not stop praising Him. Let's don't cut off our throats, cut our own throats to despite ourselves.
Amen.
We need His blessing. We need His presence.
Yes.
You were made to worship Him.
Amen.
You're created in His image. And He inhabits your praise.
Amen.
You say, I just can't feel God. Start praising Him.
Right.
I need more of God. Begin to worship Him.
Yes.
You want God to show you things. Begin to worship Him, because He inhabits the praises of His saints.
Yes, amen.
When the praises go up, the blessings begin to fall. He's a good, good Father. Amen. Verse number 9, he says, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said, hear and understand. Now we're talking about understanding today. So there's a lot of times we hear messages, but we don't understand them. And we're going to get into that. And he says, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that this defiles a man. Then the disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Do you know the religious crowd? Do you know those people who have been in church all their life and never given their hearts to Jesus were offended when you begin to talk about breaking their rules? There's not one rule under heaven given to men by men that can save you.
Right.
You can't be good enough.
Right.
We're without excuse, the prophet said. Oh man, you're without excuse before the Lord. He said, do you not know that they were offended? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch, into a ditch. They're blind leaders of the blind. What are we seeing today? We're seeing people that are saying, You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. God is love. God is accepting. You living in a sinful lifestyle, God will forgive you. Don't worry about it. Don't repent. Don't turn. It's all good. We serve a loving God. And that's not true. That's a half-truth. And a half-truth is a whole lie. Not only is God love, because we know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. We know that He's love, but He is a righteous and just God.
Right.
You got to tell the full story.
Right.
And if you don't tell the full story, then you're withholding the truth. The Apostle Paul said that if anyone comes preaching a different gospel, do you know if you withhold the truth, if you don't tell the whole truth, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then you're preaching a different gospel. And he said, let them be anathema, or cursed to hell. That's why he said, let not many of you become teachers, for in doing so you're going to reap a stricter judgment. If you have truth and you don't deliver the truth, I don't want to deliver the truth. It might offend them. I would rather them be offended and know that they're walking contrary to God and on their way to hell, that they might turn. Too many people are using the worldly thing of love and loving people straight to a devil's hell. Is that really love? If I drive by your place and your house is on fire and I'm like, well, I'm sure they'll get out. I'm sure they'll be okay. I don't want to disturb them. They might be taking a nap. Would that be considered love? If I drive down the road and I see a child in the middle of US 30, in the middle, a toddler in the middle of US 30, and I go out there and I say, and I try to rescue him. And his mom says, what are you doing? You can't alter the way he wants to play there. You can't tell him where he can play, where he can't play. But lady, he might get hit. Who are you? You're not the boss of him. If I turn and walk away, is that love? You see, when we use these examples, people understand that it is love that prevents people from entering in tragedy as much as possible. But to say that our religious traditions might have been wrong, or that we might have a skewed example, and we might have a disproportionate or a delusional version of God, well, that's cruel. That's cruel. We shouldn't do that. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. Peter, who would be the premier apostle, the apostle Peter, said, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but Peter had only been with the Lord at this time about 2.5, maybe 3 years. There have been people in the church that have been saved, quote unquote, born again, quote unquote, around the church, quote unquote, for better than a half a century, and they're still without understanding. Why? Why is that happening? Well, how can it happen? And Jesus asked Peter straightforward. You know, if someone comes up to me and says, you know what? I've been in the church for 50 years and I just don't understand. I just can't get it. We had a guy one time say, you know, I read the Bible and I can't retain it. I don't understand what I'm reading. It's like, well, maybe you ought to get saved. Maybe you ought to give your heart to the Lord. Got offended. Well, what better way to understand what's in the book and other than by talking to the author? Anybody know any authors? Any authors? Have you ever talked to one of the authors and said, you know what? I remember one guy in he used to live out in the East Coast, and one time I said, you know what? I was reading your article, and it was a technical article, it wasn't a novel. I was reading your article, and you made a comment right here, and I don't really understand. He goes, oh. He goes, yeah. He goes, something happened in that. He goes, you take it like this, and you do it like this, and he showed me how to wire up a low band pass filter. But the editor had left off a key ingredient, and I'm like, and I talked to the author, and I got perfect understanding. You know, the Bible is the only book on the face of the earth, on the face of the planet, that whenever a believer reads the Word of God, the author is standing there waiting to explain. That's why it's so exciting. That's why you can't put it down. Once you converted and once you become a believer, then it's like the Lord is talking to you through the Scripture. And there have been times when I had to say, Lord, I don't want to leave right now, but I have to. We'll pick this back up. And I tell you, that is why there are markers. Because every marker in my Bible, He talked to me here. He talked to me there. Matter of fact, I've got it highlighted two or three places. The Lord talked to me here. I don't mark my Bible to get scriptures to preach at you. The Lord talked to me here. He met me here. Too many people say, oh, that's good. That's good. I'm gonna get that, and this is for Luke right there. You know what? If the Bible doesn't speak to me first, I'll be mute on it for the rest of my life. What we're talking about today, the Lord used in my life, in my heart. He convicted my heart, and so I give it to you what the Lord has used on me. A lot of people say, well, you're just preaching at us. You're just trying to make us mad. No, you don't understand. What I give you, the Lord's already given me and already proven to be true in my life, and I'm sharing it with you. I am just a beggar who has found bread, sharing with other beggars who need the bread.
Yes, amen.
The Lord said to Peter, he says, are you also still without understanding? Are you also still without understanding? I had a guy tell me, it was the same guy, he said, I can't retain anything I learn. I can't retain anything. It's just words to me. I said, it's more than words to me. It's a letter to JC from his Lord. Verse number 17, he says, do you not yet understand that whatever goes into the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from your heart. They come from the heart. And they, those things that come out of your mouth, those things, maybe not spoken anger, maybe just spoken matter-of-factly, maybe just spoken curtly, maybe just those things come out of the mouth defile the man. Verse number 19 says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. I shared with the men yesterday. We had an incident up on vacation. We had an incident, and I won't even mention the city here. A guy got up in my face and caught me walking with my granddaughter, my baby. She needed a diety change. And so I had to leave our dogs in the car and go attend to my granddaughter. And I came out, and he was face to face in the window, causing my dogs to have a ruckus. It was 67, 68 degrees outside, And inside the car, it was a sweltering 73 degrees. I just don't know how people do it. You'd have had to have the air conditioner on max cold, front and back to keep. I'm being facetious. And this loving, caring individual said, "It's too hot to have them dogs in the car. You don't deserve dogs." I'm like, "Thanks, they've got water. Up until a little bit ago, the AC was on. They're good." Still yelling, still threatening. I'm holding the baby. Tough guy. Tough. Boy, he's just gonna let Grandpa have it. Amazing. When I put the baby in the seat, stood up and turned around, he had backed off about three car lengths. Amazing, isn't it? And then the conscience began to kick in. What are you planning on doing? You know, you gotta preach for Pastor Rob tomorrow. What are you gonna do here? And he was still cussing and swearing, still making threats, still breathing. What are you gonna do? Have you ever had a bad thought? Have you ever thought, and you never acted on it, but you had it in your heart, "Boy, if I could just get so-and-so, man, I'll set them straight, I'll bring it out." You know where those start? Those didn't start up here. They started here. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And I confessed to the guys the other day, you know, 30 years ago, it would have been a different matter. Not because I'm older, because the same guy still resides here. I had an incident this Wednesday where I got to be around my remaining elders. And you know what I did? The same thing I've done since my youth. I listened. I learned. Because my elders still have something to teach me. There'll come a time when I will take my role as an elder in the family. But as long as my uncles are still here, and as long as they're following the Lord, the most amazing thing happened to me, and I've been pondering this and thanking God for this. The most amazing thing for me is one of my uncles come up to me, and I still call him uncle, as you know. I still reverence them. My uncle shook my hand. "There's a change getting ready to take place, Pastor." My uncle shook my hand. And he said, "Brother JC, I'll be 60 years old, and that's the first time, Brother JC, I'm getting ready. One by one, every year for the last 4 years, my family has gone off into eternity. And while I thought about it, it was a scary thought. But they're making ready for this generation to become the elders. They're making ready because they've left a legacy, because they know. And it wasn't just, hey, nephew, how you doing? It was, brother. And I began to think about that, and I appreciated that. And as I pondered that responsibility, as I pondered that, as my elders are passing on and going off of the stage of this earth, who's going to pick up their mantle? Who's going to carry on the gospel? Who's going to carry on the work that God began with with a man on the back wall back there, a couple of men on the back wall, who is going to carry that legacy forward. And not only that, but who is going to carry the legacy when I pass from this stage that is life. We're building an heritage. We're leaving behind. We have to have understanding. Verse number 20. He said, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. It's those things that we hold and collect and ponder in our hearts. It's those things which keep us from serving God. It's those things which, you know, I would praise the Lord, but I would this, but I would. If we're in a relationship with Jesus, I go back to my mom and dad when my mom and dad in the 1950s were courting. You know, they still did that back then. And I can tell you what my mom and dad's song was. They had a song. It was this scrawny little guy from Memphis, Tennessee. From Tupelo, Mississippi, Memphis. Had a little bitty mansion down there called Graceland. And my dad, who wasn't the greatest singer in the face of the earth, would call my mom, and when they would hang up, he would hum a few bars of, "Are you lonesome tonight?" I'll stop there for copyright infringement. He sang a love song out of his heart to my mama. You know, when we worship the Lord, what happens to us? We begin to sing a love song to our Redeemer, to our Savior, to our Lord from our heart. And the most amazing thing is that's his favorite song of all. Back in the 90s, there was a group that put out a song that his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed crying out to the one who saved them. And that's his favorite song of all. And when we sing that song, it didn't have to be the songs we sang this morning. It could be the song that he puts in your heart. Have you ever just had a song come on your heart and you're thinking, wow, there was a... Yesterday we came in and Tim was back there and he had his banjo back there and he was playing and he began to play the old hymns, and I was loving some of the old hymns. He started talking about, "We'll Fly Away, Oh Glory, Some Glad Morning, When This Life Is Over, I Will Fly Away, and You Will Too, to a home on God's Celestial Shore. I'll Fly Away." He was playing, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken." That was particularly touching for me this week. "Will the Circle Be Unbroken." Nothing focuses your life, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, when you go to a funeral. Because we know, looking at that casket, that is our end. That was the promise, wasn't it? To Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat it, you will surely die." Go back into your scripture and find out after they did it. Every man, he lived so long and he died, and he died, and he died. With the exception of Enoch and Elisha, and those two, we'll probably see them here in the future. I'll just leave that for those of you in the end times class. He said, we need to focus on the major things. It's the things that come out of your heart that defile you. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. 24, verse 44. "And then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" And verse number 45, if you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, you need to have this highlighted. You need to mark this down. And he, it's capitalized, it means Jesus, it's referring to Jesus, opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. What a gift! What a blessing! Jesus can open your understanding as well. If you're having trouble comprehending the Scriptures, say, Lord, I don't understand. I need your help. Just like Peter did. Lord, can you expound upon this? And he will. And then he said to him, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Has it happened? Yes. Happening. Presently. And you, and he was talking to his disciples, but I'm going to tell you, you today are witnesses of these things. Whether you realize it or not, you're a witness. The fact that the gospel message has gone from the Middle East to Asia and then back around the globe and is now in North America on the backside of where it started tells you that it has gone into all the world. And I got news for you. It's going home. The gospel is going to land and it's going to be preached in Jerusalem, and the gospel message is going home. And once it gets home, it's not going to be long until we'll hear a trumpet blast and Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout. And those who love him and those who are born again will be caught up in the catching away. The gospel is going home. You can trace it. You can track it. And you're witnesses of all these things. Let me end with this. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to start up in Proverbs on Wednesday night, but I'm going to end here for the time being. The book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, much of it. The wisest man which ever lived. And it's unfortunate for him that when he asked the Lord what do you want me to give you? He said, wisdom. I think it would have been better if he would have said salvation. I think it would have been better for Solomon if he would have said, Lord, my father had a heart after you. He was after your heart. But Solomon said, I want wisdom. And wisdom confounded his heart. And later in his life, his many wives turned his heart from following after God to following after idols. It's in there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father. And give attention to no understanding. Not just that you may not have the slide. I think my next slide is 7. I'm just leading up to that. Not just that you get knowledge. Dr. Shockey used to tell us that knowledge is simply a collection of facts. But we should pray for wisdom to understand and use those facts properly. Right? For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Now to verse number 7, the last verse for today. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. So we're not called to be ignorant. We're called to get wisdom, right? But in all you're getting, get understanding. Do you know all the wisdom of men right now is currently on the internet? All the wisdom, all the knowledge of men is currently online. You can, I don't know how some of these kids would have passed, you know, passed college back in my day without Google. I don't, without Wikipedia. I don't know how some people would have done it. You know, and I'm not putting them down, because I watched a YouTube video on how to change my garage door seal. Right? It's still, trust me, at least in my case, next time I have to do that, Safeway's getting a call. I don't know what that guy used, but it didn't work like mine. I want to go in there and leave him a few choice comments. It looked the same, and I had everything that he had, but my garage door was just being stingy. You know, all right, that's it. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. What did Jesus say to us? He said, we're to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. He said, and in all you're getting, get understanding. You see, it's not just enough to have all the facts. The library down there has volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of facts. But until those facts are taken from those books and put into action, they mean nothing. Right? And the way we understand how to put knowledge to use is through wisdom. And we have to understand it in order to be able to apply it. There was a lady yesterday, and there was a slight electrical disconnect, 220 volt, and the lady messaged a guy that has knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of electrical things. And said, how hard would it be to reconnect this appliance to the 220? And the guy called. Not text back, because there's sometimes you got to get a hold of somebody. Called and said, you can't. You can't hook 220 up. Don't do it. It don't take long. But you don't have the knowledge and you don't have the understanding to be able to properly hook the black and the red and the white and the ground. You don't understand. I'll be out later and take care of it. And it won't take long. There are certain things that we have to lean on each other for. There are certain things that the Lord has given each one of us knowledge and wisdom. Aren't you glad that you don't have to know everything? There are some things I just let fly because I don't even need to know. You know, some things I don't worry about thermonuclear physics. I don't worry about rocket propulsion. I don't really even worry about the ozone layer. I don't worry about any of those things. There are people worrying about that enough. You know what I'm worrying about? I'm worrying about, do I understand Jesus' letter to me? Am I living what I understand? There are a lot of people who say, oh, I love Jesus, but they don't understand the Word. And if they don't understand His letter, you know, love letters are different than any other types of letter. Do you know that there have been all kinds of letters written? There have been letters of valor, honor. There have been letters of mercy. There have been people who have received pardons from the King. There were some letters that were so, so eloquent. One king wrote a letter to a woman that he loved in gold. Gold ink, not just gold color. Gold. But do you know the greatest love letter that ever was written from an old rugged cross when Jesus said, it is finished. I've paid the price in full. That was the greatest love letter that was ever written. And you know, without being in love with Him, without being in a relationship with Him, you can't understand and fully comprehend that letter. if you've had kids that have gone through the puppy love stage, you understand. Because there's only so many schnookums and schmoochies and whatever that the normal mind can tolerate. One girl on New Year's Day, when they were separated from our family said, hey, look, we're going here, you go there. We need to put some separation between my son and your daughter for a little bit. Things are getting a little too fast, a little too furious. And 2,000 texts in one 24-hour period. And this is back before unlimited texts. This is back when you had to pay for them. And her dad was a little irate. What are you doing getting 2,000 texts from my daughter? I'm like, wait a minute. It's not like he's making her, he don't have his hand on hers going, we're 40 miles away. I don't know that that's the problem on my end. What were the texts back then, like 25 cents a piece? Up to 188 characters? Times 2,000. In a 24-hour period. That's almost true love, isn't it? That relationship lasted about 3 months. I don't know how long it took her to pay off the phone bill, but it lasted about 3 months. The relationship that Jesus has for you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get it. He wrote it for you. We don't have to go to the tabernacle and have somebody hand us a scroll. It's in our hands. It's on our tablets, our devices. It's in our phones. But the best place for the Word of God is what David said. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And you know what I find out? When Jesus said, out of the heart comes all kinds of wickedness and evilness, if you put his word in there, then when you need it, that's what comes out. Amen? Get understanding. We need understanding. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for those here today. And I thank you, Lord, that when we ask you, you will give us understanding just like you did the apostles so many years ago. Lord, I ask right now that you give us the knowledge and understanding of your word. For Lord, you care for us. You love us. And we thank you. I thank you for those that are watching on the broadcast. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that you're still on the throne. You're still in charge. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We know that there is no lack and there is no sickness where you are. So Lord, come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's in your mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you and come back on Wednesday night.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.